que tuvimos el día de ayer y que todos estemos listos para lo que nos espera, que también apunta para ser magnífico el día sábado, nuestro día de hoy, que va a empezar justamente con una ceremonia de entrega de un premio. Pero primero quiero presentarles al que nos acompañan en el presidium, los presidentes de este congreso. Están el doctor Mario Henry Rodríguez, director del Instituto Nacional de Salud Pública, la doctora Nelly Salgado Schneider, directora del Programa de Salud Global, el doctor Anmar Belgi, cofundador de Global Health Education Consortium, el doctor Richard Dickelbaum y el galardonado, el doctor Ross. Voy a ceder la palabra al doctor Belgi para que él se haga cargo de aquí en adelante de esta parte de la ceremonia. Muchas gracias, doctor Belgi.
Thank you very much, and welcome all again. And I think by the time we are going to do the next day, we will all be hopefully on first name basis, and I won't have to say dear colleagues, dear faculty, etc. We will be just dear amigos, friends, and one family. We're progressing there. Today, it is my distinguished pleasure to introduce to you our 19th awardee for the GHAC Distinguished Service Award. This award honors a very distinguished person in the field of global health who has rendered exceptional services to humanity. Not to their careers, not to their egos, but to humanity. Previous recipients have been outstanding individuals in this category. Dr. Carl Taylor, Dr. Victor Neufeld, His Highness the Aga Khan, Sir George Aline, Dr. Jack Bryant, Dr. Julio Frank. I could go on and on with all the wonderful human beings who this award recognizes. And today's awardee is Dr. Paulo Bust from the Oswaldo Cruz Foundation, Brazil. Paulo Bust is a physician first and foremost, so he's looked after live human beings. Master in social medicine and public health specialist. That means he's already a global health physician, the way we want to cultivate future physicians by combining several of the disciplines. And he has made important contributions to human resources training and to public health research at the local and global level. He has held important positions that have enabled him to influence not only the public policies of his country, but also to advise the health ministries and institutions in the region and globally. Dr. Bus has also served as president of the Oswaldo Cruz Foundation, director of the National School of Public Health, Fiocruz, as well as the Deputy Director of the National School of Public Health, Fiocruz, and Vice President of Education and Information. Dr. Bus's leadership in public health education in the region is notable and well recognized. He was President of the Latin American and Caribbean Association for Public Health Education and of the International Federation for Cooperation between health services and systems research centers. He was a founder and first executive secretary of the Brazilian Postgraduate Association for the Collective Health. His work has been recognized on numerous occasions. In 2001, he received the Order of Medical Merit in the category of Gran Oficial, Brazil's most important health award, bestowed by the President of the Republic of Brazil. He also received the Oswaldo Cruz Foundation Centennial Medal for the year 2000 and the Pan American Health Organization Centennial Medal in 2002. Currently, Dr. Boos is Chief Researcher at the National School of Public Health of the Oswaldo Cruz Foundation and the Coordinator of the National Commission on Social Health Determinants of Brazil. He is a consultant for the World Health Organization, numerous universities, and national and foreign entities. He has over 120 publications, including technical, scientific articles, books, chapters, and he has participated in more than 200 scientific and technical events. And it is our great pleasure, Dr. Paulo Boos, to recognize you today, both on behalf of Global Health Education Consortium, which is over 100 universities and schools of public health, as well as INSP, our new associates, members, and partners. And, sir, you will be joining a very distinguished category of previous honorees. Global Health Education Consortium Distinguished Service Award to Dr. Paulo Boos, Oswaldo Cruz Foundation, for the year 2010. And now we call upon Dr. Boos to give his keynote address. Dr. Boos.
Buenos dias a todos y a todas. Es un honor.
I am pleased. I am very pleased to be given this Distinguished Service Award by this education consortium on global health. I do not feel at all. I do not feel how could I say it? I think I don't deserve this type of recognition. I just want to work with health, and I've been doing so since I first became a physician, then a pediatrician, then I became a public health expert, professional, and I believe always following the example of my parents, both my father and my mother, being responsible for the community, being responsible for sharing with others what you have in your own home, in a small city in the southern part of Brazil. So when I look this award that I am being now recognized with, I immediately remember my parents, because they taught me that we should live in a community, within a community, and in this small city in the southern part of Brazil, we had models and roles to follow. We knew how to live in a community, and I believe that was my learning lesson. We are responsible for the rest of the people, not only for our relatives, but also for the rest of the people, because we all live together in a unique country, in a unique planet. We need to take care of it. We need to take care of our peoples. We need to take care of our animals. We need to take care of nature. We need to take care of vegetables, fruits, flora. We are responsible for preserving this unique world, because this is where we live. I am very happy, because this is a responsibility that I would like to share with you. Because those who work in global health, for example, have the same commitment with the health of all peoples, regardless of their social condition, regardless of where they live, regardless of every criteria that could be recognized. Well, ultimately, we are responsible for taking this world to a final, very happy fate, because we need to have happiness, we need to enjoy our life and to have good quality in our lives. And to do so, we need to live with our community, with harmony amongst ourselves, with harmony amongst the different countries, and harmony amongst people. So thanks, Amber, for this award and by the GHEC. Thank you very much. And I will now share this prize with my colleagues in CEO Cruz, where we work very strongly on behalf of the Brazilian population and with all our commitments towards global health. My keynote presentation is going to be on the South-South cooperation within the context of global health and health diplomacy. I would like to make a presentation with all these points shortly, and I believe you all know the social and health situation, the needs for international cooperation in health, we need to pay attention to the health systems in the poorest countries of the world, the prevailing models, which are the different alternatives for cooperation, the emergence of global health diplomacy, the South-South cooperation, and I will also touch on the South health cooperation. And we will also talk about some of the African countries. I believe we need to talk about the political changes that we are facing in this 21st century. This growing awareness and social recognition of the original peoples. In other words, on the other side of the globalization, we also have the presence of peoples in their own places of origin, in their own places of life where they live. There was an important political change that we see in every country. Apart from globalization, we also have the local aspect, so we need to socially recognize local peoples, diversity, gender, different styles of life. We need to be also aware of the reinvention of the role of the state in development. This is something very new, and this is very opposite to what we faced during the 90s, when there was a smaller role of the state. Today we are renewing this role played by the state. There is trust in values and national self-determination. This is a reaction towards globalization, and this is something that we see in most of the Latin American countries. We can see in these Latin American countries the need to revalue the national values and the self-determination of the different peoples. And we should also have a renewed democracy. We left the 90s with many military dictatorships in some of the Latin American countries in order to then reach democratic renewal. And that democratic renewal is present in many countries, in Brazil as well as in some African democracies. These political changes are faced with some social, demographic, and epidemiological profiles, very important profiles that result from this globalization process, with some advantages as well as with the worst brought by globalization, which is poverty and social exclusion, the growing urbanization, the migration process as a process. But we need to remember that there is a migration process, but there we also have the migration subjects. We have migrants. Sometimes we forget about them. We talk about migration, but we forget about the people who are there in this migration process, the aging of our population, the populational growth, a terrible situation in many low-income and middle-income countries, and inequalities, very clear inequalities within countries and among the different countries. In the health sector, in the area of health, this burden of the disease is very, very clear. Parasite diseases, endemic and epidemic diseases, malaria, tuberculosis, and other cases like flu, and the re-emerging such as cholera and dengue, together with chronic non-communicable diseases, diabetes, cardiovascular diseases, neoplasias, mental disorders, and something that is important as well in many Latin American countries and African countries, violence and other external forces, causes of death and causes of other diseases. There is also an astonishing number of additional unhealthy habits. These are some of the risk factors that we more frequently see in the lives of our peoples. Hunger and malnutrition. Despite of the fact that we commonly talk about and we frequently say that how much we are producing, malnutrition and hunger are present in most of the developing countries, not only in African countries, but also in South America, Latin American countries, as well as in Asian countries. And the paradox of malnutrition and obesity, on the other hand, it is a paradox that we need to have in mind. On the other hand, globalization of risk, health risks, vulnerability, disasters, and other environmental impacts, these are all phenomena that we are living in the 21st century. And as a result of the social processes, we have the presence of high maternal and child mortality rates and low life expectancy in many countries around the world. Just to give you an example, a Mozambique person, a person who is born in Mozambique, his her life expectancy is 40 years, and many African sub-Saharan countries reach more or less 40% as a life expectancy. And another concept that I would like you to pay attention to is the following. We always talk about the term disorders and symptoms, but we should also have in mind all the things that I have already mentioned. There are some people who suffer from all these disorders and symptoms, and this will happen only among those who also face a political and social process problem. Health systems find many limitations in order to properly face this double disease burden and the social and health situation that I just mentioned as well. And these are restrictions imposed by governance and by the low capacity of the systems to analyze, to formulate, and to implement social and health policies. We are talking about brittle health systems, fragmented and unarticulated systems to face the double disease burden, this very severe situation of many countries in labor forces, and the migration of for the dream of underdeveloped countries and developing countries, going to developed countries. This is a very important phenomenon in this 21st century. Systems, in general terms, in those countries that need, they do not have enough technological resources. In other words, a mix of sophisticated technology that we need to properly value. And there are many things that go in detriment of the primary health service, and this is another paradox that we see in many poor countries. It is a paradox, and there is an underfinancing, and there is an inadequate resource allocation. In general terms, the financial resources from health will only go to curative approaches and very highly sophisticated approaches, and there is nothing going to public health funds, and there is a very brittle social control over health systems. Health inputs like drugs, vaccination, diagnostic tools, which are in general terms pretty expensive, unaffordable for many of the communities in developing countries. This is when we face this paradox. We have the empire of patents over the health of patients. In other words, the industry is imposing prices that do not even see the needs of patients. All over the world, most of the governments accept this paradox. They just accept this paradox. Very high prices for patents, resources for diagnosis, and patients. Patients are facing these political and economic processes in their own health. Which are the consequences of this? Consequences are that the health systems in many poor countries do not have a condition to face the social condition and the existing health condition. And they are also isolated, and there are no other complementary policies. There are no social policies or extra sectorial policies. They are always isolated, facing the social health determinants, and the health systems will not be able to succeed. Last but not least, and consequently, the international cooperation as a need, social health cooperation is necessary, is mandatory, in order to properly develop health in those poor countries I am making reference to. In order to respond to this and to many other country challenges of the poorest countries in the world, I would like to make a recognition of the effort made by the United Nations in the year 2000 with the Millennium Meeting. At this moment, we need to recognize the work by a great world leader who is facing many injustices to me, Secretary Kofi Annan. He was capable of organizing during the 90s very important world conferences to prepare the world for the 21st century, the Vienna Convention on Human Rights, the 1992 Conference on Health and the Environment in Rio de Janeiro, the Cairo Conference, the Beijing Women's Conference, the Cairo, the Copenhagen. During the 90s, we had many, many opportunities to be ready, to be prepared. So, according to me, the Millennium and the Millennium Objectives are one of the most important events we had. or we have had so far, but the rhetoric stayed right in the center. It is only around the objectives of the millennium. The situation is that in the year 2010, when we have only 5 more years, we have only 5 years to find the achievement of the objectives of the year of the millennium. We are far away, very far away from achieving those goals of the millennium. International cooperation should be organized in order to support this minimum development objectives, which are the millennium objectives. But what is the model that we are living today in the international cooperation? There is a proliferation and there is a lack of coordination. Not a lack of coordination, but at least a very severe misarticulation of all the cooperation given by donors, philanthropic organizations, civil society organizations who have given donations. And you can tell the number of organizations. There are many organizations, initiatives, coalitions. There are many agencies, programs, which are involved in this international assistance. But all those elements which are present, and we can also talk about many more initiatives. We can talk about more coalitions. We can talk about many more agencies. They are all de-articulated. There is no harmonization. So donors, in general terms, are globally predefining their objectives, their priority programs that will not necessarily be consistent to the needs of the countries that need to receive this assistance. Most of the international cooperation initiatives are related to the vertical cooperation. In other words, there is only a focus on specific diseases and specific health problems without addressing the harmonic development of the health system. In other words, we have this vertical assistance that is addressing only one problem versus the horizontal approach to reinforce the health systems. And last but not least, the reduction of external assistance because of the economic crisis of the developed countries. Here, I want you to pay attention to the following: the performance of the external assistance. I remember that in the year 2000, the commitment of developed countries, members of the OECD, was to give 0.7% of their GDPs for international assistance to help to assist development. And we can see this drop in the assistance, and only 5 countries are still committed and are committing more than this figure of their GDP to assist development. But what is even worse, if we compare the military expenses to the financial resources necessary to reach the millennium objectives, we're going to be astonished by these expenses in military, because in the year 2003, in this left column, you can see the world military expense in the year 2003 was $956 billion. In order to achieve the millennium objectives in the year 2015, the world would need $760 billion. It means that in our weapons we're spending, weapons to kill, in only one year, we are spending more than what we would need to achieve the millennium objectives within a 15-year window. This is an astonishing number. It is a brutal reality. The millennium objectives are not being even considered. But what about the production of war products, which cause death and suffering around the world? the missile defense system, for example, imposed by President Obama and by Russia. A negotiation was just signed in order to close this missile defense system. And this is something you can see to your right. The cost would be almost $1.2 trillion. It would be the cost. And I will remind you all that this is just to build a missile system, and the objectives of the millennium, including water and including many other components of the millennium, the requirement would be only $760 billion. And this is just for all of us to think about it and to then ask ourselves, what is the role we play? We work in global health. Which is the role we can play with this, in view of these realities, the realities that we can see in this slide? Alternatives that we started to build in the year 2000. We need to pay attention to how difficult it is to achieve the millennium objectives. And for that, there are some initiatives that I will start mentioning. One first initiative was the Paris Encounter with the Paris Declaration on the Efficacy of Development Assistance. There are some concepts, and I will not be talking about each one of them because I'm sure all people are aware of this. The concepts of harmonization, alignment, and the results, and the mutual accountability. Then in the year 2008, and there are again countries that met in Paris to have the follow-up meeting, and the another convention to highlight the importance of the ownership, the importance of the recognition of the policies implemented by the different countries, and the external assistance should also work together with the different countries, not to work only collaterally. And also in the year 2008, the declaration of the Accra Action Program. I would like to mention, but I will not elaborate on all this. I just want you to look for these materials in internet or in Google, because this is the place where you can find all these materials. We would like you to pay attention to the content. It should not only be a rhetoric piece of information. It would be great to pay attention to the content of this document. And I will mention only one of the many mechanisms at the different country levels, the sector-wide approach, the mechanisms to implement international assistance in the different countries, always respecting the content of the Paris Declaration. What other alternatives? We also have another alternative as defined by the Paris Declaration, which is now well known by the rest of the world. It was a movement coming from developed countries, from the 40s, from the 60s countries, which are part of the OECD. But there are other things. There are political changes. We have the insistence not only from the north but also from the south. And there are other alternatives for international cooperation, for development as well. I will now mention three alternatives. One, health and health diplomacy in the external policy of the countries. Two, South-South cooperation or the technical cooperation amongst the different developed countries and the horizontal cooperation. And we also have the triangle a north-south-south cooperation. That is something that is being implemented in many countries. And last but not least, what we call in Brazil the Brazilian cooperation. We try to call it the health structuring assistance. Health diplomacy, on the other hand, health diplomacy in our agenda, in our work, in this paper on international health cooperation, we define health diplomacy as a field of knowledge and practices. And it is also a set of technical and political resources that originally come from the Foreign Affairs Ministry, health ministries, to address health problems in global, multilateral, and regional programs, as well as in the bilateral relationships of the different countries. We have this concept, and we have always this idea behind this concept. For example, in our country, this is a paper that Gaudi and myself wrote. It is included in the Bulletin of the World Health Organization, and we are defending this idea. We know it is a set of technical political instruments, and it is not only a global document, it is also something that can be used in the different countries, within the different countries, and there are different models to structure and to operate those models. For example, in Brazil, the structure and the operation of health diplomacy is in the hands of the diplomats. They are in charge, and they work together with the health ministries, and they also work with the tables of Brazilian donors. There are not that many, and we do not have that many financial resources. But in Brazil's cooperation, there is a lack of articulation between university institutes and the Ministry of Health. So this understanding that health diplomacy needs to have structures, operative structures, with specific and well-defined concepts. The harmonization of the position of the different countries is also very important, and the regional organizations, international fora. This is another very important concept. We need, it is very important to reach harmonization amongst the different countries and among the regional fora in order to react politically in multilateral fora as well as with international assistance and harmonization with other donors and with other associated countries. There is a specific term which is the recipient countries. This is a type of, this would be a contradiction because there is not a recipient donor. It is a unilateral relationship. You are going to be the recipient and I will be the donor. But cooperation is something different. There is technical assistance and there is also technical cooperation. Because a wealthy country will have a lot to learn when doing international cooperation. There are many solutions which are to be found even in the very poor countries, in the poorest countries, which are the main players of health diplomacy nowadays. First, I still believe in the multilateral systems of the United Nations. I can make many criticism to the United Nations, but I believe that is not the worst situation. In other words, we need to deeply review, we need to make a reform to the United Nations, to this process of global governance, not only global health governance, but also global governance. It is not acceptable to, after 60 years after the Second World War, to have the Security Council with this veto in five countries. We need to change this. We need to give the right to voice should be a right of the very poor countries in this international policy arena. Despite of all this criticism, I will still defend multilateralism, and I will also recognize in the World Health Organization, in the Global Plan, and in the Pan-American Health Organization in the Americas regions as the political structures and operational structures for health diplomacy. But we need to review the role they play. We need to review their governance, their policies, and we also need to review their practices. And just to give you an example, something that started pretty successfully, but something that is now below the traditional policies, which is the vision of the country-focused policies, something that was started by the World Health Organization, but today it is not as important as it used to be at the beginning of the year 2000. So we need to recover these concepts. We need to rework them. But we need to always pay attention to the multilateralism, which is still very, very important in this international political consultation. We need to recognize the emergence of these new spaces and the emergence of these new players. And for example, today, apart from the World Health Organization, we have other multilateral agencies talking about health. UNICEF, that has always talked about health, and it, together with in 1978, a conference was organized. The Agriculture's Organization, the Organization of Intellectual Property. These are the places where decisions are made on health, for example, patents versus patients. The World Trade Organization, it is not possible to talk about health if we do not talk about habitats, if we do not talk about housing. And now we just had the World Habitat Forum in Rio, the Populational Fund, the International Migration Organization. It is an international organization that we do not know how it is. It relates to the area, to the field of health. It is not possible to talk about health without talking about the environment. These are all different players. And in the United Nations, we need to think on how we can articulate the work of the United Nations and the different countries, because we are all working in an isolated manner. There is no harmonization among the different United Nations agencies in working with Brazil, Mozambique, Angola. So this is part of what we call the reform of the United Nations. It is very important, and our global health community plays a role when making proposals as well for the reform of the World Health Organization. I would like to remind you all that the General Secretariat of the United Nations today is a very important player with the 63.33 resolution of the World's Assembly. And for the first time, it recognizes health in foreign affairs, in the external policies. And this resolution, my proposal is for you to look for this resolution, because we need to work with all these political elements which are available. I also would like to mention two other important players because of the strength of the European Union and the strength of the United States. We need to recognize these two powers. They are very important in economic terms as well as in international cooperation. And there are different initiatives. We have the Global Health Europe. We have different platforms in order to work with Europe and with global health. And we are starting this process with many hindrances. There are many resistance. There is a lot of resistance. And as we heard yesterday when talking about the United States, the U.S. commitment for global health, for example, I was pleased to be part of this group. I was invited by the Medicine Academy. And after the report by the Academy, it is very important, the Global Health Initiative, the one by President Obama, because there is another idea. The idea of vertical programs is now different, and we are starting to talk about other concepts, and we're starting to include the Paris Convention. And to me, this is a big, big progress, and we need to support the global Obama's initiative, because we're not talking about vertical programs only. We are trying to support. We are not only talking about buying drugs and medicines. Let's think in the development, the construction of the different institutions, the twin institutions, because the United States is very, very powerful as Europe is. But how can we have harmony between the work of two very important global health players? There are some examples of health diplomacy. Fiedler has a paper that reviews the history of health diplomacy in the last 100 years. And if you're interested, you will love this text. But we also have progress. Smoking control, for example, in the year 2005, the International Sanitary Code, Global Strategy for Diet, the Global Strategy for Public Health. These are all different initiatives which are under development, and these are examples of health diplomacy. And now, if I may, I will include the World Conference on Social Health Determinants by the World Health Organization. The meeting that we're going to have in Brazil in the year 2011, this is going to be one space for international agreement on health social determinants. These are the initiatives that we need to support. These are different possibilities, spaces, practices, and policies that could make the difference. I would like to remind you what we mentioned yesterday, the Oslo Declaration and this political, external, and global health initiative with the presence of Brazil. And we don't want you to not to think that health people were not there. But yes, we were there, and we were convincing international entities of Brazil to participate, and the ministerial declaration that comes from the first Oslo Declaration. The United Nations decided to participate in the year 2009 and to start working on global health and external policies. And this is a very important declaration by the Ministries of Foreign Affairs. Now, in order to wrap up, I will make some comments on the South-South cooperation. Which is a horizontal, the developing countries process, and it is an association partnership process, because South-South cooperation is not only health, of course. Economic, commercial, social partnership, and other types of partnerships where there are mutual advantages and benefits for the partners, for the members in developing countries, which are normally located in the southern hemisphere. And underlying this concept, we have the hypothesis that tells us that the developing countries can produce their own solutions for their own problems. And we should also remember that it is a cooperation amongst peers, among people who are pretty close from each other. The South-South cooperation has a very long history. It started in 1955, and then with the Belgrade Conference in 1961, the movement of the non-aligned countries, and the group of the 77 in 1964. This is all part of the history of the South-South cooperation. Names such as Suharto, Chito. People now do not even remember who those leaders from the 60s are. But it is a very important point in time. This is the root of the South-South cooperation after 1978, the conference and the action plan of Buenos Aires. the special unit for South-South cooperation, the South Commission in 1987, which was one of the most important initiatives by Julius Nyerere, who was the president of Tanzania. I would like you to have access to this book. This is an example of ethics, deep ethics, commitment to South-South cooperation, to the topic on the South. And there are many, many meetings and conferences, the G77, to retake the South-South cooperation during the 90s with meetings in Cuba, Mexico, and Chile, for example. And these are things that we are forgetting about. So we need to recover this history in order to understand the South-South health cooperation in its broadest scope. Then, during the 90s, but in the year 2000, the emergence of middle-income countries in the international arena and the South-South cooperation, and then the reinforcement of the concept of the soft power in the year 2008. But the smart, not only the soft power, as Tom says, but also the smart power, which is a concept that comes after the concept of soft power. But we need to study all these people. This nice concept is very interesting. It is not the hand of the military, but it is not either the common international practices. Other things, and we work on this soft power concept in the International Brazil's cooperation. I would like to remind you as well that in the G77, the Development Platform for the South and the South Fund for the Development and for Community Assistance, as well as in December of the year 2009, the high-level United Nations cooperation held in Nairobi, South-South cooperation. These are the different materials we need to recover, and we need to relate to the health South-South cooperation topic. It is also important to make reference to the role of the regional country associations. It is something new, for example, the Partnership Union, the African Union, the Association of the Southern Asian Partnerships, the Organization of the Amazonic Cooperation Treaty. We should also talk about the Latin American and Caribbean community, the Rio community, and Cancun 2010, when we signed the Caribbean and Latin American countries agreement, the South American and Africa, the ASA, Arabic countries, ESPA. These are the different global South-South cooperation, global cooperation initiatives. But we are always including health, not only because of the economic expression of health, but also because of the ethical and social expression of health. And last but not least, the North-South-South cooperation. This is something we are starting to see. I also would like to mention, since we are in Mexico, the Initiative of Public Health, the Mesoamerican Institute with South-South Cooperation Initiatives. And I would like to talk about the initiative of Cuba, for example, which is a country with one of the most astonishing South-South cooperation expressions with them. In medical terms, nursing assistance. Sometimes we forget to talk about them. And Cuba has experience in South-South cooperation, very respected South-South cooperation. This is the idea behind the Brazilian cooperation, structuring health initiative, which is part of the South-South cooperation. This paper was published in the last document of the Global Health. We are republishing it in an electronic Brazilian publication that is going to be available shortly. What is this all about? This restructuring health cooperation, and in this cooperation we have two very important points: reinforcing health systems and training of critical human resources. We are doing nothing different from other developed countries. The United States, for example, France is also very important. Southern countries have something to learn, and we need to build institutions. We need to build institutions in those countries. This is why we have 2 points. We want to build institutions, even ministries of health, and we want to train people in our country. We're talking about two strategies, and we need to address this. In other words, what is an structuring institution of the health systems? We're talking about the health ministries in the first place, and we're also talking about the National Institutes of Health, public health schools, government schools. People should be ready and skilled for governance as a strategy in public health schools, technical health schools, the strategy for primary care and clinical institutions. Apart from the training of people, we need to always train these people in the different countries. This is a very easy strategy. It is a very easy strategy, but it is also a very important strategy. Here we have the principles of the Paris Declaration. It is not possible to think that in the South-South cooperation, we are going to repeat the traditional North-South cooperation. Two donors, you are the recipients, and you need to change this idea, the idea of the alignment of harmonization. These are very valid principles, important principles in the South-South cooperation. Here we have examples in South America, in Africa, in Portuguese, the strategic, the CPLG, the Community of Portuguese Countries, IPSA, Southern Africa, at the beginning of the harmonization of many Brazilian players, articulation with national agencies of traditional donors, for example, the World Bank. We changed our strategy with the bank. We are not asking for cooperation from the bank. Rather, Brazil and the World Bank cooperate in this concept of smart power with people, with the human capital of Brazil. And we also have the creation of international relationships center. This is in South America, and I will be talking about the South, the different countries. UNASUD, there is a council, there is a board of ministers, there is a plan that is going to be approved on April the 30th in the meeting of the basin ministers. There are 5 areas of priority: the network of restructuring schools, we're organizing the networks of the different government and health schools, and we created the South American Health Institute. It is an institute that belongs to the community of countries so that we can train people to achieve health governance, so that health systems respond to the social needs of the country. We have another paper, another publication that is going to be ready in a couple of weeks in this electronic magazine, and Brazil's cooperation and the university. Brazil built a federal university in order to bring students from neighboring countries in Brazil and to train people not only in health but also in engineering as well as in agriculture. These are the 3 priorities: health, engineering, and agriculture. This is just to show you what the community of Portuguese countries, Brazil, Angola, Mozambique, Timor, Guinea-Bissau, Portugal, and Cape Verde Islands. 8 countries in 4 different continents. And we're also working. There is a board of Ministers, this board was created a year ago, a strategic plan for cooperation and health, networks of institutes and schools, technical schools. Because of the extreme poverty that we face in African countries, different from Latin American countries, Brazil created an Emapodrum office for Africa, a factory of medications in order to produce antiretrovirals. It is a public entity that is going to produce essential medications, and we are working together with Mozambique for this south cone of Africa. There you have the picture of President Lula, the Brazilian health minister, and Mozambique's health minister. And here I am like a pirate. I do not know how it is said in English, in Spanish. He says he is the chairman of the foundation. And we want to train physicians and professors. It is very, very important to train professors and teachers, not only in Brazil. People left Fiocruz. We want to train people in Mozambique, in Angola, because when we have people from more developed countries, we need to not lose sight of this. Now brains go to the different countries to train people instead of bringing people. We are not taking people out of their countries to train them. We'd rather take our own brains to train people locally. So we need to see the realities of the different countries. Here we have the cooperation of Fiocruz, some of the many different initiatives. And one final message. First, we believe it is very important to reinforce renewed multilateralism. We need to recognize the role of the United Nations. Our navigation charts are the report by the Commission of Social Determinants, as well as the report of primary health care. Regional alliances, South-South cooperation, health diplomacy. Under this new cooperation model with the Paris Conference principles. And last but not least, in order to recognize the Global Health Education Consortium, we recognize the importance of training and doing global health research and health diplomacy. And we recognize in the Global Forum and in the GHEC the very important elements in order to foster training people and researchers. And this is the end of my presentation. Thank you very much.
Wow, that was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. In a very short time,
en muy poco tiempo,
Paulo managed to condense the very intricate world of global health, from its ethics, from its diplomacy, gender discrimination, environment, problems before, previous history of things that were left undone, and how do we move forward? Absolutely brilliant. Thank you very much. We will allow just a couple of questions so we can let you go for your break in about 5 minutes. So please come forward if you have a question. Dr. Deckelbaum. Can you use the microphone, please?
Dan Deckelbaum, McGill University. Thank you very much for an excellent talk and overview. My question is, over the last many years, there's been hundreds of conferences, hundreds of organizations, and billions of dollars spent over the issue of global health. Why aren't we farther ahead than in dealing with this problem?
En cabina no se escucha el micrófono. En la cabina de traducción, pues.
Yo costumbro,
I normally, in classes and in the different discussions and courses that we have, I always talk about human life. In other words, the growth crisis of people.
Como soy pediatra,
since I am a pediatrician, I remember that going from infancy to the second infancy, and then when you leave home, when you become a teenager, then when you start starting professional programs, and then when we get older, I believe that the same happens to the lives of the institutions. In other words, the world has a growing awareness. The world knows how important it is to work together. Human values and ethical values will always support the economic values. Social values should come first than military interests. But this is a learning lesson in the world. That we have many navigation charts. Something that you mentioned, we have many conferences. The system of the United Nations made an extraordinary work with the conferences during the 90s and with the Millennium Declaration. In order to make progress, to take a step ahead, to overcome rhetoric, and I believe it is going to be extremely important to change. In other words, national policies are extremely important. Nowadays, I can tell you that in South America, there is a movement. There is a movement to renew democracy. This movement has generated solidarity amongst the different countries in order to face and to overcome the main health social determinants, to look for universal access, to negotiate in order to have lower prices. There is a set of initiatives, so I know for sure that this growing awareness is going to bring new and decisive players in the international arena. These new governors, let's think about progress, and let's think about Obama different from Bush. It is a huge step ahead, isn't it? And the role of the United States has completely changed. Changing from Obama from Bush to Obama, I can tell you that in the World Health Organization, the American representative, for the first time after changing the administration in January 2009, the U.S. position changed in the World Health Organization. At the beginning, it was not possible to talk about the topic of intellectual property, and the United States opened a discussion expressing the desire to talk about intellectual property. So the American community has to support Obama's initiatives. And I am not in favor. I live in Brazil. I am not in favor of Obama. I have no relationships with the United States at all. But the destruction of this missile project, we are saving $1.2 trillion. These monies can now be devoted to many other programs. So I believe national societies are very important. And the policies of the government should be changed in order to make the necessary changes in global health. And it is a learning lesson, and it is a political process. And we need to be relevant players. We need in our hands, as in organic intellectuals as we are, we can have an influence on our society. We play a very important role in order to change the position of our governments in the international agencies and in this multilateralism that I see the possibility to work not only in global health but also global development, where we have health as well. Muchas gracias. Vámonos
please
a nuestro
be on time.
Receso.
I know
regresen
we ran over a little bit, but for a brilliant speech like this, we should really give you more time. Please be on time for the next panel. Thank you very much.